بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began with an introduction to the seerah, and we spoke about the meaning of the word seerah linguistically, and also the meaning of the word seerah as a branch of Islamic knowledge. And the ulama, they said that seerah, it is ilmun yu'rafu bihi ahwalul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That seerah, it's a branch of knowledge by which a person knows the situations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mundu wiladatihi wa nash'atihi ila an lahiqa bil rafiq al a'la. From the beginning of his birth to his growing up until he passed away and he joined the higher companionship. So this is the meaning of the word seerah. And we spoke about the different stages that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through in his life. And we spoke about how every person, regardless of your situation as a Muslim, even living in this country, you can always relate back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whatever situation you find yourself in and whatever role you are playing, there is for you an example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you're poor, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived poor. And if you're rich, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, the wealth came to him. And if you're going through an illness, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through illness. And if you're healthy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through health. If you're married or single, then the Prophet was such. If you're a father, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a father. If you're a father-in-law, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a father-in-law. If you're a student or a scholar or a khatib or an imam or a leader of the Muslims, or if you're a commander in an army, every stage that you can be in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through such a state. If you're living in a non-Muslim country, the Prophet lived in Mecca under the non-Muslims. If you're living in a Muslim state, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in Medina in a Muslim state. So the point is, like Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that verily there is for you in the Messenger of Allah a good role model. And we spoke about this in the previous lesson. And then we went through 10 benefits from studying the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever wants to know these benefits, then refer back to the recording of the previous lesson. And in studying the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to go through a book in Arabic which is called Mukhtasar Seerat al-Nabi wa Seeratu Ashabihi al-Ashara, a brief seerah, biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a biography of the 10 companions, his 10 companions, referring to the 10 companions who were promised paradise in their lifetime, known as al-ashara al-mubashsharuna bil jannah. And this book has been translated into English by Darus Salam, and it has been authored by al-hafiz Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah. And we planned to bring 40 copies of the book to the lessons. Whoever wants to purchase them can purchase them. They were meant to arrive today. However, Qadr Allah, they haven't arrived yet. So by next week, inshallah, whoever wants to purchase a copy, it's only £4 or such, can do so. Before this, how do we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So today I want to go through some topics related to seerah, and then also give a general overview of the book which we are going to study. The first subject is how should a person study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And seerah, it's a branch of knowledge. Like fiqh is a branch of knowledge and hadith is a branch of knowledge and the study of aqidah or usuluddin is a branch of knowledge. Also, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a branch of knowledge. Except it's the most noble branch of knowledge and the most beneficial to a person. Because we are studying, when we study seerah, we are studying the life of the best amongst the humans and the most pious of the humans and the most virtuous of the humans. And always a person, whatever he reads is affected and influenced by that which he reads. And you will notice this when you read the stories of the righteous people, whether it's the Prophet or the Shuhada, or whether it's the stories of the companions or the righteous scholars, previous scholars from the Salaf or scholars of this time, it inspires you and you want to be like them. And also, conversely, whoever reads the stories of the disobedient people is also affected by this and will be swayed to their way. And because a person is influenced by what he reads, and especially when he reads the seerah or the stories of the righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran the stories of the prophets and messengers. How many stories did Allah mention in the Quran of the stories of the prophets and the messengers? And He did so because when a person reads these stories, it inspires that person. So when a person reads about the da'wah of Nuh alayhi salam, it inspires you in terms of da'wah. When a person reads about the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it inspires a person to sacrifice for the sake of Allah and Musa alayhi salam and the other prophets and the other messengers. And Allah said regarding the prophets and the messengers, He said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ, that they are the ones to whom we have given the book and the law and prophethood. فَإِنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهَا هَٰؤُلَاء فَقَدْ وَكَّلْنَا بِهَا قَوْمًا لَيْسُ بِهَا بِكَافِرِينَ. So if a group of people disbelieve and reject those prophets and messengers, then we have made another group of people who will be responsible. And these responsible group of people will not disbelieve and reject the messengers. And then Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ, they are the ones whom Allah has guided. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي, so seek guidance through their guidance. And the prophets and the messengers, they were the best amongst the humans. And if they were the best amongst the humans, then our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best amongst the prophets and the messengers. So the prophets and the messengers were best amongst the humans, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best and the most virtuous of all the prophets and the messengers. Meaning, from Adam alayhi salam until Yawm al-Qiyamah, there is no man who is greater and more pious and more perfect than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No woman will ever give birth to another person like Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salawatullahi wasalam. And the prophets and the messengers, they're not all equal. Some of them Allah made better than others. And this Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, that some of the messengers, these are the messengers, we have made some of them better than the others. We have preferred some of them over others. As Shaykh Al-Sa'di, he said in his tafsir of this ayah, فَكُلُّ الْأَنْبِيَا, every single prophet, لَوْ أَدْرَكُوا مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, if they lived at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la wajaba alayhim al-iman bihi, it would have been an obligation upon them to have iman in Prophet Muhammad, wattiba'uhu, and they have to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa nusratuhu, and they have to support Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa kana huwa imamuhum wa muqaddamuhum
ومتبوعهم. And he, I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was their imam. He was the imam of all the prophets and the messengers. And he was in front of the other prophets and messengers. And he is the one who they have to follow. And therefore, if this is the great virtue of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we have to learn his seerah. And we have to teach our children his seerah, so they can also follow his guidance. And this was the practice of the Salaf. The Salaf, beginning with the Sahaba, they used to teach their children the seerah of the Prophet and also the companions. The children of the companions and the tabi'een, they used to teach their children the wars of the Prophet, the battles of the Prophet, the history of Islam which came before them. And here is the great grandson of Ali radiallahu anhu, Zainul Abidin ibn Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. And he said, كُنَّا نُعَلِّمُ مَغَازِيَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَمَا نُعَلِّمُ سُورَةً مِنْ سُورِ الْقُرْآنِ. That we used to learn the battles of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم like we learn a surah from the Qur'an. Just like we teach our children Surah Al-Ikhlas and Surah Al-Fatiha, and we repeat it and we revise it and we check it again and again and again. The great grandson of Ali radiallahu anhu said, we used to learn about the battles of the Prophet, meaning the seerah of the Prophet, like we used to learn a surah from the surah of the Quran. And also Muhammad ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, the son of the great companion Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he said, Kana Abi yu'allimuni maghaziya Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My father, he used to teach me the battles, meaning the seerah, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. ويقول, and then he would say, يا بني, O my son, هذه مآثر أبيكم فلا تضيعوها. He would say, O my son, this is the legacy of your father, so do not waste this legacy. Do not forget this legacy. Meaning this is the legacy of your Prophet, and this is the legacy of your father, and the companions around your Prophet. So don't stop narrating these stories. Don't forget about these stories. Make mention of the battles and the wars and the heroics and the events which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through. And Ibn al-Jawzi, he said, رَأَيْتُ الْإِشْتِغَالَ بِالْفِقْهِ وَالسِّمَاعِ الْحَدِيثِ لَا يَكَادُ يَكْفِي فِي صَلَاحِ الْقَلْبِ. He said that I consider a person occupying himself with the study of fiqh and listening to hadith is not sufficient in rectifying a person's heart. He said that a person occupying himself with the study of fiqh and the listening to hadith, I consider it not to be insufficient in rectifying the heart of a person. He said, illa an yumazzaj bi raqa'iq, except that it should be mixed with ar-raqa'iq. And the meaning of ar-raqa'iq are those narrations which talk about the softening of the heart or soul purification. And then he said, وَالنَّظَرُ فِي سِيرَةِ السَّلَفَ الصَّالِحِ. And also that a person reads the seerah of the righteous Salaf. وَأَصْلَحُ سِيرَةِ. And the best seerah is سِيرَةُ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Is a seerah of our Prophet. And Az-Zuhri, Shihabuddin, he said, عِلْمُ الْمُغَازِ وَالسَّرَايَا عِلْمُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That the knowledge of the battles and the expeditions, in it is the knowledge of the dunya and the akhirah. Meaning materialistic knowledge, worldly knowledge, and also knowledge of the akhirah, it's contained in the battles and the seerah of the Prophet, the history of Islam. Why? Because as they say, history, it repeats itself. And if a person, if a country wants to protect themselves, they read the history. Because this history is going to repeat itself. It's going to happen again and again and again. And history is full of plots and overthrows and rebellions and what to rectify societies and what corrupted societies. And therefore, if a person wants to benefit himself in the dunya and the akhirah, then look into the history of Islam. Read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the battles which he went through. And for this reason, Al-Imam Malik, he said his famous statement, لن يصلح آخر هذه الأمة إلا بما صلح به أولها, that the latter part of this ummah will not be rectified except by that which rectified the early part of this ummah. The early part of this ummah was rectified by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the guidance of al-Islam. So also the latter part of the ummah, meaning us today, the problems that we're in, how will they be rectified? Through the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Arabs before Islam, the Quraysh before Islam, you hardly find any mention of these in the books of history. In the books of history, you read about the great Greeks and the great Romans and the Indians and the Chinese. You don't read about the great Arabs until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then the history books became full of the mention of the Arabs. So that which rectified the Arabs from their jahiliyyah to the enlightening of Islam is the same thing which will rectify this ummah. But the problem that we have is we're ignorant of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I mentioned, the study of the seerah is like studying any other branch of knowledge. And the scholars, when they study fiqh or when they study hadith, they have a particular methodology. And that methodology is you start with a very basic book of fiqh or hadith or tafsir. And then once you have comprehended and understood this book, then you go on to a more advanced book, which is intermediate. And once you have consolidated yourself, then you go and read the advanced books. And the same with the study of the seerah. You start with a book which is mukhtasar, which is brief, summarized and concise. Once you understand this book and you've memorized this book, then you go on to a book which is slightly more advanced. And then once you know this well, then you go on to a book which is even more advanced. And the ulama of Najd, the ulama that we know about nowadays, like Sheikh Ibn Baz and those who came before him and those who came after him, they have a certain number of books which are divided into these three categories. So the most basic, concise book that often they would begin by studying is the book which we are studying, Mukhtasar Sirat al-Nabi wa Ashabihi al-Ashar, a brief, concise seerah of the Prophet and his 10 companions. Or they would study some poetry which is called Al-Mi'iyah. And this is from the word Al-Mi'ah. Mi'ah means 100. Meaning this piece of poetry, authored by Ibn Abil Izz al-Hanafi, it contains 100 lines of poetry, 100 verses of poetry. And within these 100 pieces of lines of poetry, he has summarized the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the most basic level. And they would often memorize this piece of poetry, this mi'iyah, 100 lines or verses of poetry, they would memorize it. After they've studied one or both of these books, they would go on to the next book. And the next book is intermediate. Like, for example, Al-Fusul fi Sirat al-Rasul by Ibn Kathir. And this is the book here. This book, Al-Fusul fi Sirat al-Rasul, chapters in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is considered to be a middle level book. And this book we studied with our Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Abbad in the Haram throughout the summer. Every single day after Salatul Asr, he would teach this book. And within the summer, he was able to finish this book every single day. And then after this, they would go on to the third stage, which was the advanced level. And perhaps one of the most, if not the most important books of seerah is Sirat ibn Hisham. And Sirat ibn Hisham is 4 or 5 volumes. And Sirat ibn Hisham, one of the very early books of seerah, is a summary of Sirat ibn Ishaq. Except Sirat ibn Ishaq, as far as I know, has been lost and it has not been printed. So the only thing which you have with us from Sirat ibn Ishaq is Sirat ibn Hisham. And this is perhaps the most famous book of seerah. The books of seerah are many, hundreds, if not thousands of books of seerah just in the Arabic language. Never mind that which has been translated. So the fact that there are hundreds, if not thousands, books of seerah shows how important the scholars consider this branch of knowledge to be. And some of these books of seerah are in the form of poetry, from 100 verses to 1,000 verses of poetry. Others are in prose, written form. Some of the books of seerah are very old, and others are contemporary and written in an academic manner. Some of these books of seerah have been authored by Muslims, and other books of seerah have been authored by non-Muslims. And perhaps one of the most common books which is authored by a non-Muslim is a woman, a Christian nun, called Karen Armstrong. And this book is not too big. Have you read the book by Karen Armstrong? What do you think about it? Yeah, I read that book before Medina, so I think I was maybe 18, 19, 20. And as far as I can remember, the book was quite accurate. She doesn't seem to have an agenda against Islam or agenda against the Prophet. She was quite kind and praiseworthy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she is a Christian nun. If I'm not incorrect, she is a Christian nun. But that which the Muslims have written is better and more in number. Also, some of the books of seerah have been authored in terms of, like, in a chronological order, the events of the Prophet, beginning with his birth, then in the first year of his life, and then as he grew up, and then the events which occurred when he became a prophet, and then the first year of a prophet, and the second year of the prophet, then when he went to Medina, then the first year of Hijrah, and the second year of Hijrah, all the way to his death. Other books of seerah have been authored about a particular event in his life, maybe a particular battle, or something regarding a particular event in his life. And I'll give you examples. So with regards to poetry, which has been authored about the seerah of the Prophet, first Al-Mi'iyah. And this is by Ibn Abil Izz Al-Hanafi, 100 verses of poetry. And then Alfiyah lil-Hafidh Al-Iraqi. And Alfiyah from the word Alf, and Alf means 1,000. Meaning he wrote 1,000 verses of poetry, a little more than 1,000, in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is comprehensive. And as for the books of prose, many and many. Some of the books are old, like I mentioned, Sirat ibn Hisham, one of the older classical books of seerah. And then there are modern books, like, for example, Sirat al-Nabawiyyah by Mahdi Rizqullah. And also a Sirah Nabawiyyah Sahiha by Akram Diyal Umari. And both of these books, we had to read them in when we were in university. And both of them are two volumes each. Then there are books which were written chronologically from birth or before the birth of the Prophet, and then through time up until he died sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And perhaps one of the most famous books and the most accessible books is Ar-Rahiq Al-Makhtum by Sheikh Safi Rahman Al-Mubarak Furi, which has been translated into English called The Sealed Nectar. And I think it was summarized in English called When the Moon Split. Also, in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, the book of history which Ibn Kathir wrote, he wrote also a quite comprehensive seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again in a chronological order. And then there are other books of seerah which cover a particular aspect from the life of the Prophet. So for example, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he wrote a book called Zad al-Ma'ad. And Zad al-Ma'ad is about 6, 7, or 8 volumes. And this was all about fiqh from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fiqh understanding from how he ate, and how he drank, and how he woke up, and the clothes that he used to where, and the illnesses that he went through. He derived from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rulings of fiqh. Also, Al-Qadhi Al-Iyadh, from the early scholars, he wrote Al-Shifa Bita'rif Hukuq Al-Mustafa. Al-Shifa, knowing the rights of the messenger. And in this book, which is about 2 volumes, he wrote about the rights of the messenger upon us. and for example the ruling of a person who insults the Prophet, and why the Prophet was better than other people. And then there were books which were written just about the wars and the battles and the expeditions of the Prophet. And perhaps the most famous amongst them is Al-Maghazi by a classical scholar called Al-Waqidi. And another one called Maghazi ibn Uqba, written by Musa ibn Uqba. And then there are books of Seerah which focused on the physical character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The most famous of them, Al-Shama'il, which was written by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. And he spoke about the clothes of the Prophet, and the sword of the Prophet, and the camel of the Prophet, and the house of the Prophet, and the ring of the Prophet, the cloak of the Prophet, what was it like? The turban of the Prophet, what was it like? And it's about, it's a volume, and I think it's available in English. And also, there were other ulama who wrote about the miracles that occurred at the time of the Prophet. And perhaps the most famous amongst them is Dala'il Nubuwa by Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi. And this is about 8 volumes. So 8 volumes of miracles, 8 volumes of prophecies which the Prophet made, 8 volumes of evidences that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a truthful Prophet. And what I have mentioned is only a drop in the ocean of what the scholars wrote. So they wrote so much, which shows us how important this topic was. As for the book which we are studying, we said Mukhtasir Sirat al-Rasul, a brief seerah of the Prophet, authored by Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. And this book, there's a story behind its writing. And one of the students of Abdul Ghani, and his name was Abdul Karim ibn Abdul Nur al-Halabi al-Hanbali, he mentions the story behind why the author wrote this book. He said, ذَكَرَ لِي جَمَاعَةٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that a group of scholars, they informed me, أَنَّ سَبَبَ تَأْلِيفِ عَبْدِ الْغَنِيِّ, that the reason why Abdul Ghani, Al-Hafidh ibn al-Ghani, why he wrote Mukhtasir al-Sirah, أَنَّهُ خَرَجَ وَمَعَهُ بَعْضُ أَصْحَابِهِ, that one day, Al-Hafidh ibn al-Ghani and some of his companions, they went towards a particular town. And in this town, they were walking towards a monastery, where the monks live. He said, فَقَعِدَ الْمُؤَلِّفُ عَلَى جَنْبِ النَّهَرِ, the author, i.e. Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani, he sat by the side of a river. And one of his companions from his company, he went towards the monastery. And he knocked on the door, فَخَرَجَ إِلَيْهِ الرَّاهِبُ, and so a monk came out. The monk said to this person, مَا دِينُكَ, what's your religion? And this man said, أَنَا مُسْلِمْ, I am a Muslim. Then the monk said to him, مَنْ تَتْبَعْ, who do you follow? And then the man said, Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I follow Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. Then this monk said to him, اُذْكُرْ لِي نَسَبُهُ وَحَالَهُ, mention to me the lineage of this Prophet, and mention to me the state of this Prophet. And this person, this companion, he wasn't able to mention anything. One of the friends of Abdul Ghani. So then the monk, he said, I'm not going to host you. You don't know about your own Prophet, who you meant to be following. I'm not hosting you in the monastery today. Then this man went back to Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi, and he mentioned to him what had happened. So then Al-Hafidh, the author, he mentioned to him the lineage of the Prophet, and who was the Prophet, and what was the mission of the Prophet. So then this man went back and he knocked on the door, and the monk, he came out again, and he told him about the lineage of the Prophet and some of the life of the Prophet. فَقَالَ لَهُ الرَّاهِبُ, the monk said to him, هَذَا مَا هُوَ مِنْكَ, that this what you've told me isn't from your knowledge. هَذَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْخِ, this what you've told me is from that sheikh sitting over there near the river. Then this monk came to Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani, and then Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani mentioned to him the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَأَسْلَمَ الرَّاهِبُ, and then the monk, he accepted Islam. just by hearing the seerah of the Prophet and something from the life of the Prophet, he accepted Islam. When Al-Hafidh Al-Ghani went through this, and the fact that he's one of his own friends and traveling companions didn't know anything about the seerah of the Prophet, he wrote this book. He wrote Mukhtasir al-Seerah, a summarized, brief version of the seerah of the Prophet. So at least you, as a Muslim who follows Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know his name, you know his lineage, you know something about his battles, you know something about his life, you know something about his wives and his daughters and his family and so on and so forth. And as for the author, Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi Al-Hanbali, from the ulama of Palestine, born in Nablus, which is about 40 kilometers north of Jerusalem. And he was born 541 Hijri, which is 1146 from the Gregorian calendar, meaning he was born about 873 years ago. And he was a great scholar of this religion. And he was from a family of scholars. And this family, they are called, their names end with Al-Maqdisi, like Al-Muwaffaq, Ibn Qadam Al-Maqdisi, a group of scholars from the Hanbali Madhab who arise at that time. And perhaps they're one of the most famous families when it comes to knowledge. And much has been said regarding his traveling for knowledge when he was young and how he used to benefit and how he taught. He authored over 80 books. And one of the books we have studied, Umdatul Ahkam, which we studied the Book of Purification, the Book of Fasting, was authored by Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi. Finally, before we study the book in the next week, a general overview of the book. What is this book about? What is the methodology of the author? And this, my brothers and sisters, is always important before you read a book. Before you read any book, whether it's Islamic or from the secular sciences, read the introduction of the author. Have a quick look at the contents or the index, and also the brief description at the back. Because then at the least you have with you a general overview of this book. And this is something which the scholars used to advise us with. Buy a book, before you put it in your bookshelf, read the introduction of the author, read the contents, and then read the brief description of the book. Even if you don't finish reading the book, at least you know what's in that book. So if you need to refer back to it, you know where the piece of knowledge is kept. And this book, Mukhtasir, concise and brief, it's only a very short book. The contents, first the author goes through an introduction in which he praises the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentions how important it is for a Muslim to study the seerah. Then, nasabuhu wa mawliduhu wa nash'atuhu. He mentions the lineage of the Prophet, from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his father, to his grandfather, to Quraysh, Hashim, all the way to Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. He mentions the full lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions his birth, and he mentions some aspects of when he was a young child. Then he mentions the beginning of al-wahi, and then the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions the children of the Prophet, the Hajj and the Umrah which the Prophet did, and also some of the battles of the Prophet. Then he mentions some of those companions who write down the revelation and some of the letters which he sent to the kings and the rulers. He mentions the uncles and the aunties of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his maids, his servants and his horses. He also mentions some of the weapons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of the descriptions of the Prophet. He mentions some of the manners of the Prophet and also some of the miracles which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. So he doesn't go chronologically, he mentions certain important aspects in a very brief and concise manner. And then he mentions a basic seerah of the 10 companions who were promised Jannah in their lifetime. So he begins by mentioning Abu Bakr and then Umar in more detail, and then Uthman in more detail, and then the remaining seven companions. So the 10 companions who were promised and guaranteed Jannah in their lifetime, there were many, there were more than 10. But in a single hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned 10. The first of them, Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa, who is known as As-Siddiq, the father of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab, who is known as Al-Faruq. Then Uthman ibn Affan, who was also the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's known as Dhun-Nurayn, the one who possessed two lights, because he married both daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After one of them had passed away, he married the other. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet radiallahu anhu, and also the son-in-law, because he married Fatima. He's Abu al-Hasan, he's Abu al-Husayn, he's Abu Turab. And then after Ali is Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And after Talha is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. And after Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas is Sa'id ibn Zayd. And Sa'id ibn Zayd was the brother-in-law of Umar radiallahu anhu. And he preceded Umar in al-Islam. And perhaps Sa'id ibn Zayd, he might have been one of the four khulafa. Had Allah decreed, he may have been one of the four khulafa. Except that when Umar radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, as you know, he chose a committee of the senior sahaba to choose the next khalifa. Sa'id ibn Zayd, he sidelined him. He didn't choose Sa'id ibn Zayd to be in the committee of the senior companions who were going to choose the next khalifa. Why? Because it's a conflict of interest. He doesn't want somebody to say that, look, he's choosing his own brother-in-law. So because of this conflict of interest, he sidelined his own brother-in-law, Sa'id ibn Zayd. And this is a good quality. And then after Sa'id ibn Zayd is Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awam, the great worshipper, the father of Abdullah ibn Zayd. And then Abdurrahman ibn Awf. And then Abu Ubaidah, Uqbat ibn Amir al-Jarrah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لكل أمة أمين. For every ummah is a trustworthy person. وَأَمِينُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةِ. And the trustworthy person of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he died in the great plague which afflicted Sham once the Muslims had conquered Sham. And many companions died in that plague. Ala kulli hal, this is a basic overview of the book. Inshallah, next week we'll begin reading the book. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.